Beer with Pleasant Strangers, episode 12. Hey, welcome to another episode of A Beer with Pleasant Strangers, except for today I'm not having a beer with a stranger, I'm having a beer with...
A stranger.
Well, actually there's a lot of things I don't know about him, so there are many strange things.
Probably true.
But for those of you who haven't watched very many of the videos, or haven't seen any of them for that matter, you may have heard me refer to the camera guy, and I usually say his name too, is Aaron. Instead of being behind the camera, he has moved around to the front side of the lens. Now he always gets to taste all the beer that we have on these
delicious
on these
beer.
Episodes. Yes,
Joel is very generous with his beer. If you know him, you know that about him.
Yeah, it's just because I can't drink it all myself. Not
general,
my wife
not
getting
beer.
Mad at me. Yeah, so I have to share it with people. But one of the things that Aaron frequently has told me is that he would say, Joel, you've ruined my taste buds. Joel, you've ruined my perception of craft beer. Or he'd be drinking a beer and he'd be like, I like this beer. And I'd be like, well, you know, that beer was owned by, you know, Budweiser. And then he'd get sad and he'd be like, you've ruined this for me. And so I thought, hey, what we should do? We should get together and drink a beer that has ruin in the name of it. Ruin 10.
If there's at least 10 taste buds left, we're going to ruin them right
now.
Yeah,
we're going to ruin all the rest of your taste buds tonight. And yeah, so that's why I decided to get these Ruin 10s. Ruin 10 was originally brewed by Stone for their, I think it was the 10th anniversary of Ruination, which was their double IPA. Back in the day when double IPAs were like a new thing or a weird thing
amazing.
That no one made.
An amazing thing. And you see a double IPA at a bar and you take that.
Yeah, pretty much. And then, so what they did last year, for the first time, was they did a variation of Ruin 10. They rebrewed Ruin 10, and then they did a version with orange peel and...
vanilla bean.
Yes.
Very pretty bottle.
Very inventive. Word on the street was this was Mitch Steele's final parting gift to Stone. It was a recipe that he came up with before he retired. Mitch Steele was... head brewer at Stone for a long time, and he has now parted ways with them and gone off to other ventures. So that beer, what last year they made it. I don't know if you know this. It was only Southern California they got it.
I did not know that.
We're the lucky ones that got it.
I just live here.
Last year, it's a great place to live. Yeah,
indeed.
This year, though, they made it again, and they distributed it all over the country. So if you, right now, it should be on the shelf in your area. If you live in a place that gets Stone, most places do, ask your local bottle shops if they got it. Because, I mean, it's incredible. And we're about to drink it here. And
all over the world, realistically, you can probably find all sorts of Stone all over the place.
Yeah, you can now with Berlin and Richmond open and running. But I'm not sure where all in the world they distribute to their footprint.
If you're watching this from around the globe, let us know where you find Stone beer, especially this one, or
actually,
these
that'd be
two.
Cool. That'd be cool if you let us know.
The what is this? Ruin 10 orange peel and vanilla bean, and Ruin 10 double dry hops.
So
with
Centennial and Citra.
Yes.
So now, but here's the thing. This year, this is the Southern California exclusive beer. So this one didn't get distributed anywhere else.
Sorry, world.
It's exclusive. So special for us. For us only. Only for us.
Only for us. The only bottle that they ever made. Right?
And it looks like,
No, that's not,
I kind
not
of
true.
Part of me wonders if it glows in the dark. I mean, it's so neon. Holy
Let's
moly.
See.
I don't know if you can, how you can tell. Yeah. Just put it in the dark. It's just such a bright color.
Very hard to tell. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see as the night goes on.
You know what would be cool? And I don't know if anyone's done this yet, but if you made a beer that had ingredients inside of it that glowed in the dark and it wasn't like, didn't break any FDA rules.
Green eggs and beer.
Yeah. That would be a cool beer. I would buy that beer for the heck of it. People would take so many pictures and videos drinking that beer. St. Patty's Day. St. Patty's Day 2018. There's an idea for you, beer world. Glow in the dark green beer.
I might not buy it.
It doesn't matter if it tastes good. It doesn't even matter if you use old, crappy, expired ingredients in it.
Or if it turns your belly glow in the dark.
All that matters is if the federal government's going to come knocking at your door if you do such a thing. But all I'd say, this is exclusive just for us. If someone else out there finds it somewhere else, it'd be because you traded for it or you have a homie that someone's hooking it up. So we're going to taste these right after we finish our little pregame here, which was what we've got in the center.
which delicious. That's what it is.
It was delicious. Big Hazy from McKellar, San Diego. And I'll have to verify for sure, but my understanding was this is a double IPA that was brewed with no hops in the boil, but they use lupulin powder in the dry hopping process.
Cocaine.
Or would be the dry hopping process. Basically hop cocaine. So it's 10 point something percent.
10.1.
10.1. And it pretty much doesn't, you cannot taste it at all. This is just death water is what it is. It's just juice that will slowly but surely kill you.
It's pretty amazing because if there was a pack of McKellar IPAs in a line and you're going to choose to shotgun one of them, you'd probably want to do this one, even though it's 10%, because it doesn't seem like it. It's super easy to drink.
It's really tasty.
Very good.
What kind of hops they used in it? I mean, well, hop powder, so your guess is as good as mine. What kind of hops were powdered into that?
Crack.
The other thing we're going to do is pair it with some chocolate that we have here. Which I don't know what type of chocolate this is, but chocolate and IPAs. It's actually not a pairing that I can think I've ever done. This is a green and black brand chocolate.
75% cacao. Not bad. It's pretty good.
Yeah. It's pretty good. For those of you out there, pardon my lip smacking, who have never paired a food item with a beer before.
Joel hates lip smacking.
There's actually a method to doing it. I learned from Gwen Conley, formerly of the Lost Abbey, now of Cutwater Spirits, formerly known as Ballast Point Spirits. But she used to do these like beer tastings, and she would instruct everyone exactly what to do. Like, take the walnut, stick it in your mouth, chew it up a little bit, but don't swallow it. Now take a sip of the beer. Mix that inside your mouth with the whatever you just ate, the walnut or whatever. Usually it was a bunch of stuff from Trader Joe's, like snacks, those little snacks that you get on the checkout aisle that are irresistible. You cannot not buy. And then you take it all together as a combined sensory experience. And it's a whole different world when I learned that
there's when
I learned
art.
About that. Basically, yeah, just mixing it. Because most people chew something up, swallow it, then take a drink and kind of rinse their mouth with the drink. And same thing with beer, right? Or take a drink, it's just beer, and then eat something after the beer, something like that. But take something, stick it in your mouth, chew it up, but don't swallow it. Then take a sip of the beer and mix it together. Mind blown.
Well, you also told me an interesting fact about that at your birthday. We were doing a cheese pairing right here in this backyard. And you said...
Backyard studio.
You said... to when you're pairing something, use like something, two things that have strong flavor. So like not like something that's super fruity and something that's kind of bland, because it's just not going to
Yeah, that was also from Gwen. That was basically just her saying, her general piece of wisdom was to say that, yeah, if you have like a really strong flavored beer, both of these, actually all three of these would be. Actually, Big Hazy was the least assertive of flavors.
It's full of flavor, but it's not like...
It's not... punching beer, you in the face, but like if you have a bourbon barrel aged imperial stout that just aged in oak for 12 years or something like that, it's going to taste really woodsy. It's going to have all sorts of strong flavors.
Chocolate.
You don't want to pair that with Kraft American Singles. You're not going to be able to taste the Kraft
Lunchables?
American Singles at all. You're not going to be able to taste. You don't want to pair it with mozzarella cheese or something like that. You know, you're just not going to taste the less dominant flavored item. But if you take something like
takes the body away, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Well,
dumbs it down to.
If you take something that's really strong, like a smoked blue cheese or something, and then have it with that imperial stout, that's a flavor profile that's strong enough to stand up to the other one, and they inhabit different parts of your tongue, right? Like you trigger different taste buds in different areas of your tongue. So you mix them together. They are at least they're gonna like come together in like an interesting fusion, but you'll be able to pick out those flavors. The main thing about beer pairing and beer in general is just quantity. You have to drink a lot. Just drink. Just if you wanna develop your palate, just drink a ton of beer. Just drink a whole
always a good decision
buttload of beer. You don't have to drink a lot of quantity, but you should drink a variety over time. Regularly, and your palate you'll be able to tell stuff apart. People that get all snooty about you know, their palates and what they taste and stuff like that. They're like, really? Can you really taste horse blanket on that beer?
Probably just because they have the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
And they think they know it better than anyone else.
Maybe.
Who knows?
But it is a thing. Like, your taste, you'll learn. Like, you learn flavors, and you just like you learn smells, you know, like, and it's quantity. It's a time.
I'm big on smells.
Oh, yeah, you are? What are some of your favorite smells?
Well, it's, I don't know about favorite smells. It's just every time I smell something, it triggers like a very vivid memory of food or like a taste.
Well, that's,
that I know of.
That's
like instantly
that's
I can,
true.
Like, point it out, like, that is very specific. Like, you know, I don't know. If I smelt a beer that once we have this one, I'd be like, oh, that smells exactly like the orange peel vanilla bean Ruin 10 from Snowden. And it just triggers it, and I'll be like, oh, I had that with Joel in his backyard studio.
Your olfactory senses are one of the strongest memory triggers that you have. Yeah.
I think mine's, I don't know, personally, it's extra strong, it seems like.
Yeah. Well, there's stuff that I've smelled. I've just been walking down the sidewalk and smelled something, and it's like, boom, what the heck was that? And it brings back vivid memories, you know, of something that was years and years and years ago.
Follow that scent.
Yep.
That'd be a fun, be a fun thing to do. That'd be like a, in New York, instead of a, what's the one with the taxi? Cash cab. It'd be like, follow that scent. You just walk down the streets, and first person to lock onto a scent and follow it, and I don't know, wins money or something.
That'd be interesting.
Free food.
You just pump pheromones out of like a car. Just pump it out. Just an odorless, or not an odorless, but an invisible fragrance. And then see if anyone picks up on it and follows it to its source. That'd be interesting.
That'd be fun to do.
I don't know. Like in a big city, like if you're in New York City, I feel like people are used to just walking down the street, like with their, you know, jacket up, like smelling all sorts of stuff and just tuning it all out and ignoring it, you know? Like,
well,
you think,
or, I mean, probably try like ignoring it consciously, but subconsciously it doesn't let them ignore it, I feel like. Because then they're like, they smell something walking down the street, and then later that day they're like, oh, I'm going to go get a cannoli.
I'm pretty sure if I drove by a pig farm, which I don't think I've done in a long time.
You'd eat bacon right after that.
No, I would not eat bacon, but I would instantaneously be teleported back to my home, my childhood in the Midwest in Northwest Ohio, where you couldn't really drive very far anywhere without driving past a really stinky livestock farm. And it just really stinky animal poop smells permeated your car. And it didn't matter if you had your vent, you know, set to recirculate. You would smell the animal poop.
I grew up here and don't have very many memories of that. So when I smell poop, I think of horrible, long, hot car rides next to poop.
You got La Jolla. So that there's that. That's where all the seals and all the birds crap all over.
I think
of
like driving
through seashore.
Barstow or some, I don't know, some random place where you just pass a bunch of cows and roll up the windows really quick.
Does Barstow smell like poop?
I don't know.
Oh.
I just threw something out
there. I haven't been up there in a while. Anyone listening from Barstow, please write in and tell us.
I'm probably wrong. There's probably no cows in
your
hometown, city of Barstow, but
I don't know. It's like the desert. There could be some cows. There might be. Who knows? It's open range. So let's open both of them. I've got two glasses for each of us. So we'll pour out some of each.
I've got this nifty, cool looking bottle opener.
Yes, that's a pretty cool bottle opener.
Got it. What is this? The wax?
Yeah.
Wax dewaxer.
Yeah, it's actually for the foil or the wax or both. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Remind me as I play with this thing.
Yep, it's pretty sweet. I actually already inadvertently gave one away while I was at Firestone Walker this year. But actually, friends of mine that I was hanging out with retrieved it and messaged me and said, "Hey, man, I've got your bottle opener." That was a friend of mine named Alan Gonzalez, and he messaged me, and I was like, "Wow, dude! Like, thank you so much for retrieving that. That was a nice thing to do."
Smaller cups will be
the double dry hops
and Citra hops.
Yeah, go ahead and you can pour yourself, and I'll pour myself, and we'll just pour our own. Oh, look at that! Oh man!
Whoa!
All right. So recently, Stone did an unfiltered enjoy by, and obviously, this beer has been filtered because you can see through it. I don't know if you can see from far away where the camera's at, but you can see it's clear. It is very, it is clear. It is completely transparent. As is this one. And this one, and this is the orange vanilla one. This one has plentiful quantities of adjuncts basically added to it. Both of these have a head that seems to start off about two fingers and go really quickly to one finger, and it's going down, down, down. So it's dissipating pretty fast. And like we were talking about,
both of these have a very distinct,
yeah,
smell.
This one, if
stone beer, hoppy.
You have to go get this one. You have to seek this one out right now because it's fresh right now. And like, I mean, I don't know how long.
Amazing of orange peel.
I don't know how long in reality, it's going to be drinking good for. But I would estimate 5 weeks tops, maybe. And that might be
pushing
it. All
that matters is it's drinking good right now.
All that matters is, and even though they actually look. They look
pretty similar.
Pretty much, they don't look exactly the same, but they look very close to being the same. Like they're the same base beer. I mean,
yeah, they smell pretty similar, like as far as the hoppy beerness of them. But like the tangerine or orange peel definitely comes through.
Yeah, this one just smells. I mean, to me, this one smells the orange peel and vanilla one smells like those chocolate oranges you get on Christmas, but not really with the chocolate aspect going on. And
let's start with this one. Why not?
They're both technically they're both called triple IPAs, right? Cheers. Is that the orange?
This is.
Oh my gosh.
There's the vanilla.
Yep.
Man, that's good.
So Aaron, what was you've been on all of these shoots with me, on all these podcasts with me pretty much. And you hear all the questions I ask people. What was the first beer that you had that kind of set in motion in your brain the concept of, oh, hey, you know what? This is beer and I like it.
Well, three distinct moments in beer come to mind. Two in particular, I'm not sure which one. It was probably, I'm not sure which one was first, but Negro Modelo, as random as that is.
No, that's
but
not
it was
random.
Like one of my first like kind of darker malty, just different beer.
Yep.
It wasn't like a Pabst Blue Ribbon.
I went through a Negra Modelo phase, and I still technically I would
like them. They're good. Yeah,
I would drink one nowadays.
Shine it away.
Yep. Someone gave me one. I wouldn't say no.
Lagunitas IPA.
Yeah,
I love Lagunitas. That was like my first love for sure of beer, and then Stone IPA, obviously.
Oh, okay.
But still, personally, to this day, no offense to Stone, but if there's only two IPAs on tap, Lagunitas or Stone, I normally do Lagunitas.
Really?
It's just my personal preference. I don't know. It just has a little more creaminess to it.
I would say Lagunitas is less on the bitter side. Like, Stone's is very unabashedly bitter.
And that's what I mean about these two both have that on the nose, the same Stone, like, in your face. This is going to be a palate killer, you know? Like, Stone IPA definitely killed my palate. That is the one that did it for me. Like, that turned me fully into IPAs and doubles and triples. And then, you know, then I started branching out Belgian quads. Started with definitely, like, because I was a DJ for a long time when I was from 18 till, I mean, still, sometimes I still do it. But when I was 18, I had a fake ID to get in all the nightclubs.
See?
And
all these cool people that had the fake. I was never
cool.
It
wasn't
cool.
Very cool. I didn't even care to drink back then. I would just drink Pabst tall cans anyways. They were free for the DJs.
Yeah, they were.
But if I ended up being at the places, I would always get Lagunitas or Stone. And branch forward to when I was 21, started going to like Vons and stuff, and they would always have like Coronado's IPAs and the Islander or whatever.
I still like Islander a lot. Yeah. An idiot too.
Good. All good stuff. So yeah, just kind of like whatever those kind of stores had. Old Rasputin was one of my first like, holy crap, this beer is insane beers.
That
was a lot back then to me. Like
yeah,
I was
Rasputin,
like, holy crap, this
so
is crazy.
Good.
But I remember I saw it in the stores. Once. My ex-girlfriend at the time, she bought it for me. And I drank it to myself, and I was just like, oh, I felt so bad after because it was just like the gnarliest stout. Just felt like it's, it tasted to back then when my palate was still developing, just like they were just pumping alcohol into it, and it did not sit well with my stomach. It did not do well. But after that, that was when like trying beers was a whole new thing to me. Yep. It was like, what can I try? So
after that, you manned up, steals your guts.
Well, it's just like, yeah, you know, there's a whole different world of other than IPAs and double IPAs and triple IPAs and golden strong ales and stuff like that. So like, yeah, I don't know. I definitely wish the whole time I was clocking all the beers I've had. Well, it's been quite a few. I never really kept it with my Untappd. I think, was it you or Sean, like just two weeks ago or so, looked at my Untappd and was like, holy crap, you've had a lot of beer. And I haven't, it's been over a year or more since I've even gone on that app. I don't think I have it.
Untappd is, there's a fly going.
Flies.
Wow, these flies love beer, man. These flies are drunk, whizzing around out here. Yeah, no, Untappd, I mean, like, when I've always thought of Untappd as a wonderful way to keep a beer journal.
Oh, that's great.
Which I used to do.
I loved it when I was doing it. But
I used to actually have a physical one. But
our beer society got a little gnarly and so Aaron, turned me off to Untappd.
Aaron is actually, and we've kind of had a few episodes where you've seen a peek behind the scenes, but he's one of the earliest members of the Tuesday Night Beer Society down here in North County, San Diego.
I think we had the first one at my old house.
It might have been.
I think it was.
It might have been. And now it's metamorphosized because it's attracted lots of people who are super into beer.
Way more into beer and knowledgeable than I am, for sure.
But
I don't even try to be in that
category. That's all good because all you just tag along and then you get to try all these great beers that other crazy nerds went through all the effort to get.
Yeah.
And then you can just try it, right?
For everyone out there who's seen me at the shares and I am empty-handed or Sean's handing me a beer behind the scenes.
You always bring something.
Just tell me that. Yeah. No, I mean, sometimes I don't, and I'm just like, I don't want to.
Don't admit
that.
No,
I'm like,
you provide a valuable
pushing the beer past me. I'm like, no, I don't need
great
this.
Great photos and videos.
I appreciate everyone who offers generously when I show up empty-handed, because most of the time I'm like, I have one beer in my fridge, and it's something that you can find anywhere, and I don't even want to bring it.
You can bring it.
Yeah, most of the time,
but
I'm just very blessed to try all this stuff.
And when you say something you can find anywhere, you're talking about Southern California bottle shops.
Southern California, Holiday Wine Cellar, Texas Liquor.
A lot.
Not really anywhere.
Just a lot of stuff that you can get here that you just cannot get. It's just been here for so long. It's been 20, 30 years of
the last beer I have nerds in my cellar, my fridge right now is the blueberry from Sour from Tired Hands.
Oh, Undertow. See, he's got, that's the one beer in his cellar.
We got it in
Philly. Who has Joel that in Southern California? Not many people have that beer. He's got it.
I got it.
He's got it. So see.
And I'm going to drink it.
Yeah, and I'm going to be there too, right?
We're going to do I'll save it.
Keep your eyeballs and your
ear. If you're with me when I buy a beer, you're going to be with me when I drink it.
All right, I'll remember that. I'll remember that. If you're next time you go beer shopping, I'm just going to tag along just to be there.
Well, because you were there for the Eclipse that I opened, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had that for...
Was that there when you bought that?
I think you were. It was at Texas.
That was a 2015...
it was the
Four
purple,
Roses.
I think it was the Elijah Craig.
Oh, Elijah Craig. Okay.
I think it was the Elijah Craig.
Because they've over the years, they've had a few Elijah Craig versions that I don't know all the... Like they have, I think they had a 10-year and a 12-year and... I don't know if they had another one. I've had a lot of Eclipse, too many Eclipses
to really
even
good.
Keep track of.
I wanted to save mine for a really long time, like 5 years, but it didn't work out. It probably could have aged more,
and
too.
With Eclipse, I think you could definitely keep Eclipse for 5 years at least if you wanted to. But I
think it would bring all the booziness out of them.
Yeah, because they've been doing them
a little more viscous.
I mean, they've been doing them for like 8 years or 7 years. They've been doing the Eclipses, maybe longer, but I've had many. Let's just say I don't remember them all.
These beers, by the way, are delicious.
These are good. I don't know if you've, there's a piece of chocolate there. I don't know
I
if you've
it.
Tried
I
that yet.
I
already did it with the orange vanilla and it was delicious.
I'm going to do it with the
other
one.
That dark chocolate basically added a dimension that it was imagining existed on that beer. Basically, I had in my head that when I was having that orange vanilla, that it was like a chocolate orange. And I was kind of, you know, imbuing that vanilla with the powers of having like some sort of chocolatey tone to them, but they didn't, don't really. It's so, very refreshing.
So I just tried it with the double dry hopped one that has Centennial and Citra hops.
Yeah.
And that totally just brings back memory of a dark chocolate that I've had that had, it was like lemon peels or something, like lemon tidbits in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's totally what definitely brings out the darkness of the beer with the dark chocolate. Like it brings out like the like robust boom, like this is not, that's so, not a normal friendly looking IPA right there.
All three of these beers are double digits, by the way. They're all IPAs that are above 10%. Which is wonderful. I love it. So right here on the back of the bottle, actually. So I was talking about how Ruin 10 was originally brewed as a 10th anniversary version of Ruination. It was brewed in 2012. Yep. 10th anniversary IPA. Then it became Ruin 10. Yep. There it is. Boom. Mega double triple.
Get your hands on the orange peel and vanilla bean. It is delicious.
They're both great, but this one's just so... It's unique. I don't think anybody else makes a... triple IPA with that
orange creamsicle
once a year. Only the second time ever that has been brewed, and only the first time that it's been distributed across the country. So I would definitely go looking for it. So if you had to pick a brewery right now, that like you were talking about earlier, if you saw Stone and Lagunitas on the menu, you'd pick Lagunitas. But what's a brewery right now that if you went anywhere and you saw them on the menu, you'd be like, I want to try that.
Honestly, and call me gimmicky if you must, if you're from Southern California, Carlsbad in particular.
I will. Virgin. I haven't talked about them enough already.
Exactly. They are great. They're great people. And
they make good beer.
I've been saying it since the first day we went there, like the day before their opening.
That's where we started.
They did it right from the beginning. So props to you guys, Virgin. You are definitely always on my mind when I'm looking through a tap list.
And it's not
when I see your IPAs, I'm jumping all for it.
It's not hyperbole. They make great beer, and they're doing it consistently. And they are also refining their recipes with each batch. So the batches are getting like better. Mm-hmm. They're not like drastically changing. They're just making them a little better each time, and
just
it's
it up.
I go there frequently, and you do too, and it shows. And they've already won some awards just from some of the stuff like a one off thing they did.
Just from everything they've ESB done since the under a year they've been open, is just amazing. Like the following that they already have too, and they did a
Grisette.
Plans that they started with and that they're accomplishing is just awesome.
They did some crazy interesting. The thing that they didn't have on, I was just there yesterday. Haha. Funny. You should talk about Virgin.
I was supposed to be there, but
they had like an espresso version of their stout, the Dutchman's Pipe, that was on deck to come on, but it wasn't on yet. And I really wanted to have it, but it's probably on today. Yes. Which is going to, I think, become a staple at Churchill's Pub and Grill, which is here in North County of San Diego, San Marcos, to be specific. And if you've never gone to Churchill's, if you don't even know what that is, that's one of the best beer pubs in the country. I mean, I've been to a bunch around the country now. I can't say it claimed to have been to all the best ones, but I've been to many. And it's top.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, for me, it's right in my backyard, but it's top 20 for me.
Oh, yeah. The amount of beers that they always have that are insane, that you're just like, holy crap, they have this.
Yep.
Holy crap, they have that. Holy crap.
Their bottle list is really
good,
too.
They still have this one. Like, their bottle list is insane.
I wonder if Ivan would let us shoot a podcast over there. That'd be fun.
And their food's amazing, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that takes them over the top, is the food is world class. I've never had anything there that was... disappointing.
No,
I have had things there that seemed very basic, you know, like fish and chips. But they do a great job with the fish and chips.
I love their
fish
and chips.
Fantastic. Yeah,
and they have darts, so you can't go wrong.
And they have darts. Yeah, and they have fire pits outside. But yeah, gee, oh man. So both of these beers are, I'm beginning to feel the effects. I don't know about you, but it didn't take long.
I ate some food before I came, mm-hmm. so I'm okay right now.
I had some lettuce. So I had, a few pieces of lettuce.
Beer on lettuce just slides right
just
off.
Just plowing right straight through that.
I had sausage and pineapple sausage and homemade naan bread. It was good.
Homemade naan bread. Nice. So then Bergen, which is not distributed at all, and they've only canned 4 of their beers ever to this date, and they've only done them on 2 separate occasions when they was
all
a,
delicious.
You had to
beers.
Go physically to the brewery and buy them, and in the most recent one of those cans sold out on the day that
was
they went on sale.
Universal Secret?
Yeah, Universal Secret sold out, and then Mixed Green sold out the day after. But what is one beer from Bergen that if anyone who is listening or watching is able to come down to Carlsbad, because that's what you have to do, or come down to San Diego and find a place that it's on tap, what should they have?
We definitely just said it, Universal Secret.
Oh, yeah.
If you're looking for something, especially you East Coasters out there, that will tickle your fancy, and you West Coasters who don't know what's going on the East Coast, IPA style.
So similar to this, actually, if you think about it.
You will love it.
Not as strong,
you
but
will
similar.
Convert, and your mouth will be filled with delicious mouthfeel, frothy IPA goodness.
Yep. Zero IBU. Well, no hops in the boil.
No hops in the
boil. Which we established, yes.
But lots of deliciousness.
Yep. And the hops that they added, which I don't know if I mentioned this before, are the same 3 hops that were
Galaxy,
in... Vic Secret. Vic Secret is in it. Hence Universal Secret. But the 3 hops that they use are the same 3 hops that were used in the original batch Enjoy By.
I think I got this. I have a picture somewhere.
I've got a can. We can go look at it. I'm trying the chocolate with the double dry hop now.
Does it say? Can I see it? Oh.
And special thanks to my wife for giving us all of her chocolate, because she loves chocolate. And
we love you.
It was
for
a big sacrifice for her to give us the chocolate, but she did willingly with a giving heart.
It doesn't say on these cans.
She's a saint.
Can't see it.
It's on the cans, but it's on the side.
Yep.
It's okay. I'll check for you. Whatever those hops are. They are the original hops
They're
of
good.
The
Enjoy By.
Original Enjoy By recipe from Stone. Little fun fact, which I think I've probably mentioned before, but I'm going to mention it again because with the hay.
So Bergen is definitely always welcomed when I see it. Another one, Modern Times.
Oh, yeah, Modern Times.
Modern Times is great.
Okay. So we talked about,
not so much when I'm out and about, but can wise, I love to see Modern Times cans.
So what's a beer from Modern Times that you see, and if you find it on the shelf,
I don't know
you
the names
you would
of these things, Joel. I just
Blazing
the camera.
World. Blazing World.
Sure.
Yes.
Yes.
Fortunate Islands.
Yes.
Black House.
Yes.
Yes. All of those. Yes. To all of them.
Yes. Yes. To all Modern Times. Modern Terms? Modern Times beer.
Modern Terms. Modern Terms. Yeah.
Modern Terms.
Yeah.
New brewery.
Actually, so Modern Times does specialty can releases now. I think it's just once a month. And they've repeated a couple. But the most recent one that they did is called Luna Park. And it is fantastic. It is really good. It's one of the best things that I think they've done. They've all been good, but there's a few that have stood out. Underworld Dreams stood out for sure. Goblin Rock, I think, was one of them that was pretty good. And then this most recent one, which is Luna Park. The last couple have been pretty good. They had Clear and Present Dankness. Great name.
Dank.
Yep. And then Luna Park. And then before that, they had a Great Notion collab, which whose name escapes me now.
I believe I had that one.
You probably did. I mean, we've had them all.
Yeah, I think so.
We've had
them
all.
Same with these McKellar beers, too. I love to see them.
McKellar's releasing something tomorrow, actually, as of the recording of this, called These Haze. By the time this episode goes up, they'll have released several more, I think. They've actually got a Jay Wakefield collab coming up that a lot of people are stoked on, called Balls Be Malted, which is like...
Malt those balls.
Malt ball-flavored stout or something like that, which sounds...
I mean, I hated those things when I was a kid, and then at some point, all of a sudden, one day, I was like, oh man, I love these things. So it'd be interesting to have a beer that's based on the concept of like chocolate malt ball candy.
You like that South Park episode?
I don't know, dude.
Chef's chocolate salty balls. Anyone?
Oh, chocolate salty balls. Yes. Okay.
Suck
of course.
On those malty, hoppy balls.
Yeah. Yeah. I would. I'm going to.
This
I'm
podcast
gonna,
is
I'm
taking gonna, a turn for the worst.
Oh no. Yeah. Down the line, we have a lot of podcast ideas, but today I said, Aaron, why don't we just sit down and why don't we just drink a bunch of really strong beer in my backyard studio space and
we'll film it. And we'll talk about it.
Yeah, and talk about it.
And I guess since I'm here, let's turn the hot seat around on you, Joel.
Uh-oh, the hot seat. I never heard it called that before, but...
tell the audience here what they can expect next for the podcast. Like, what's new, what's fun, what's coming up?
Man, we're going to get experimental. We're going to get avant-garde. We're going to do, like... paper mache stop motion frame animation for the video, and we're gonna have all of the voice acting done by non-native English speakers.
It's all gonna be shot on red cameras, on cranes.
Yep,
big cranes flying in.
We're going into the Himalayas. We're going to Nepal. We're gonna find Nepali people who do not know English at all. We're going to give them scripts to read that are basically phonetic. Phonetic sounding out of the scripts, and then we're gonna have them reenact everything, and it's gonna be animated with like I said, like paper mache and claymation.
And this is all true.
And spray paint artists just tagging the side of some warehouse in LA. We're gonna have them
accurate.
Do it like as a yeah. No
break dancers, flying pigeons.
Break dancers interpreting more or less. We're gonna have a Morse code episode too. One episode that's entirely in Morse code. Yeah, it's going to be good times. tune in. Stay tuned. We have a lot of ideas. I have been fortunate in the fact that there are other people who have locally in San Diego who have started podcasts before I did. And they have a lot of experience. And I've met a few of them now and talked to a few of them. And I'm going to mine their brains for useful information because, it takes time and effort and... it's a lot of fun. We're sitting here drinking beer, but it's also work.
It is. And there's behind the scenes things that go on.
Yep. It's a good time though. Like, I mean, it's all worth it. It's
it's great.
I talked about it to a lot of people and I'm like, I was doing all of these things already. Tuesday Night Beer Society, and we were hanging out and talking about beer and drinking beer and trying different things, doing bottle shares and going to events and things like that. And I was like, might as well start recording it and turning
it into
something. It
took a little
push
from some of your friends, but to get it rolling.
A few kicks in the butt, as I talked about it enough. But thanks for helping me getting it going.
Of course.
Yeah.
Thanks for always
so
sharing.
So that's what you can expect.
With pleasant strangers.
Is more podcasts, and they're going to go off in odd directions. But, I mean, the main motivation behind it was to get out and meet people and start doing, something that involved... kind of having conversations with people about people of like mind who are interested in something, because you'll never know what you can learn or where you can find out.
Yeah.
And also people will bring cool beer and we'll try it and taste it. One of the things I do want to do and pay attention for this is going to come soon. We've been working on this. This is a concept that's been coming for a long time, is cracking some nice high quality, well sought after beers and giving them to an extremely critical person who does not like very many beers and letting him just kind of have his way with them.
I'm excited for that one.
Yeah. His name is Robbie, and I don't know what to call it yet. Well Tasting with Robbie, or Epicurean Adventures with Robbie.
We can come up with a better name for sure.
Epicurean Libations, something like that.
About whales and
basically,
Robbie.
I'm just going to have him taste some very highly sought after beers and
Robbie and the Giant Fish.
Just give his unvarnished take on them based on nothing more than his completely subjective opinion in the moment. So we'll see how that goes.
We love you, Robbie.
We love you, Robbie. It'll be good times. I already actually recorded him tasting Duck Duck Goose, and it was fun. It was very short. He did not have much to say about Duck Duck Goose. So we'll put that in there, and that'll be in there, and we'll see what else we can get from out of him. Twisting his arm to drink rare beer is just hard.
So hard.
Yeah, so hard.
For some reason. It's so easy for me. I don't know.
I don't know. Some people are just, you know, born with a gift. The gift of the ability to drink
the gift
rare
to turn
beer.
Down whales at any given cost.
Yeah. Or just tell them that they taste like poop, you know. Which I don't know he'll use words as short as poop. He may use longer words like...
Hopefully, he's a writer.
Scatological or, yeah, onomatopoeia.
Scatological?
Yeah.
Is that just like poop everywhere?
Yeah. No, it's scat... Yeah, no.
Scat everywhere?
Scat, yeah, scat. Scatological, yeah. Or, you know, like recrudescent, you know, words like that. Welkin. Words that no one knows what they mean.
I'm not very smart, so... You'll have to put those in the show notes or something.
Till I started reading a book that had a lot of big words in it, and I was like, I do not know any of these words, and I have to look them all up, and every other page I had to pull out a dictionary and look up the words, and I felt humbled and completely, you know, taken down several notches.
I run a video camera. I'm not that smart.
He knows how to do stuff I don't. He knows what f-stops are.
F-stop, bus stop.
F-stop, bus stop. That's a great saying.
Good times.
So already I think people know, if they're paying attention, they already know. But, you know, how do people find you and hire you to do videos and photos for them?
Well, you can find me on the beach, if you're lucky. I'm a skateboarding, surfboarding vagabond who... somehow gets hired to take photos and videos for people.
Is that in your bio? Because that should be exactly what it is.
That
I'm a skateboarding, surfboarding,
should be. I'll probably go
vagabond.
Change it right now on my website.
Yeah. Put it on LinkedIn and put it on your resume and everything, yeah.
I guess Instagram is the best way. I don't really go on Facebook. I do email, but it's just the same as my Instagram, at Mr_IllEctric, ILLECTRIC.
Ill communication.
I was young. Ill-ectric. That was my DJ name. Still is, kind of.
It's a sick DJ name, actually.
Kind of still is. Mm-hmm. When I DJ, I guess people call me that.
and they should. It's a good name.
Yeah, you can find me on there. At the beach. At Tuesday Night Beer Society every now and then. When I'm not scared because I don't have anything to bring and there's so many people.
Behind the camera on a Beer of Pleasant Strangers podcast.
You can find me there. Yeah.
Cool. All right, man. Thanks for joining me. Let's eat the rest of this chocolate and drink the rest of this beer.
Sounds good to me.
And not force everyone else to watch us do it and listen to us.
We still got plenty, and I'm definitely feeling it now.
We have plenty, but we're gonna share it. Don't worry, we're gonna find other strangers, pleasant strangers.
We'll
go around the neighborhood.
Make your wife.
We'll see.
Chug these bottles and tell her it's 3% each.
That sounds like a good plan. I'm on board with that.
She'll probably do it.
She'll like this one, the orange vanilla one, for sure.
I think most people will like that one.
Well, thanks for coming around the other side of the camera.
Definitely.
And drinking more beer with me.
Sorry you guys had to look at me this time. You won't have to do it again. Don't worry about it.
He's a good-looking guy, though, isn't he? I mean, come on.
Next time I'll be behind the camera making sure it stays on.
And thank you, Stone, for making really great beer.
Stone, always, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, Stone has grown a lot in the past, 5 years that I've really been... into this stuff, and you know, they've opened Richmond and Berlin, but they've remained staunchly independent and very true to their value system and their roots. I know they've gone through a lot of changes, so it's always a pleasure to feature Stone
and Stone's watch them kill the game constantly.
Man. Oh gosh, yeah, I mean,
taste
and they're right in our backyard.
It's amazing. Yes,
they've been innovators for a long time, and now they are. Huge, an empire practically, but they deserve to be an empire. But I here's to 21 more years. Their 21st anniversary is this year at Cal State San Marcos. So I don't know if anyone is around Southern California wants to go to that.
The beautiful gardens was not big enough, so they had to rent out Cal State San Marcos.
August. Yeah, they did it last year. They did it again this year. Yep. 21 years. It's great. It's a good time. I went last year for the 20th anniversary, and it was amazing. And I got blitzed because Jay Wakefield came and they brought Big Papa. And I was
drinking
unlimited tasters. And so I just went back over and over again. And then I went up and got M3 and then I came back and got Big Papa, abnormal M3. Yeah, that was a good part. That was a good party, festival. That was a good festival. Whew, man, the memories. At least it's good I have memories, I think, right? Yeah.
That was a good thing.
If I had been doing the podcast last year, you know.
you know, I would have snuck in like a little camera or something and been
we would have been there.
Hey. So thanks for being on. We'll go ahead and finish eating this chocolate and drinking this beer without making people listen to us or watch us.
Cheers to you, Joel.
Cheers to you, Aaron. Thank you for all your help and everything.
Keep watching because who knows what we're going to be doing next and who's going to be on next.
Who knows? I don't even know what we're going to do next, but I'll find out when we do it. In the meantime, don't be a stranger. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for watching and or listening. And we'll catch you on the flip side.
Cheers.